Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're digging into something, well, fascinating and honestly pretty frustrating. It's about the human side of AI and digital transformation, or maybe the lack of it.
Right, the systemic denial, you could say.
Exactly. Our source material is built around some really sharp observations from an experienced professional, Rob Van Linde. He's 61, seen four major tech waves.
Mm-hmm.
And he has some, let's say, strong opinions on why this current AI wave is maybe sputtering a bit.
In our mission today.
Right, the mission. We want to unpack this huge paradox. You probably see it constantly in the business world. Companies are like screaming for innovation, for talent.
Desperate for it.
But at the exact same time, they've built these systems, these filters, that push out the most experienced people and the brand new digitally native folks just starting out.
It's a massive contradiction, and it points to a systemic failure. The core idea, really, that ties this all together is powerful. It's this quote, "When experience becomes a liability instead of an asset, the system, not the individual, is broken."
That really hits home.
Yeah. And look, if we do one thing today, it's to show this isn't some kind of generation war or generation problem. It's fundamentally a context problem.
A context problem. And that starts, according to the source, with something he calls silent discrimination.
Exactly. Which is ageism, plain and simple, but it's often baked into the structure. It's invisible.
Not so.
Well, it's this cultural assumption built into hiring. The idea that, you know, if you didn't grow up coding AI from your crib, you can't get it.
Right. Age over actual competence.
Precisely. It dismisses decades of pattern recognition just because someone didn't start their career, say, 5 years ago.
Let's make this concrete. The source, Rob Van Linde, he actually lists the kind of things people say, these dismissive comments that just kill a conversation.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you're too old to understand AI.
Huh.
Or that that corporate classic. We're looking for someone who's more digital native.
Oh. And this is where his perspective is so valuable. He doesn't just get defensive. He pushes back, clearly. He says, look, I'm not too old for the tech. Actually, he probably understands the underlying logic better than many dismissing him.
So what's the issue then, in his view?
He argues he's too experienced to buy the hype, too experienced to believe that technology on its own is some kind of magic wand that fixes deep-seated cultural issues or structural problems or, you know, basic human dynamics in a company.
He's seen this movie before.
He really has. Internet boom, mobile revolution, social media.
Right. If you've lived through those, you see the pattern. You get that perspective. He identifies this predictable cycle for every big tech wave. Can you walk us through that?
Yeah. It's almost depressingly predictable. Starts with huge excitement, right? Mm-hmm. Then almost immediately you get organizational denial, the sort of, oh, this new thing doesn't really apply to us.
Classic.
Then comes the massive, often totally unsustainable hype cycle. Everyone's chasing the shiny new object. Until the slow, sometimes painful realization sinks in. That the real success, the lasting success of any transformation, isn't about the specific tech, the algorithms or platforms. It's entirely about human adaptation, how people adjust, how the culture shifts. That human element is what separates real transformation from just, well, expensive hype that fails.
Okay, so if human adaptation is the key variable.
Which it is.
Then we need to shift focus.
Mm-hmm.
Stop obsessing over the tech list
mm-hmm.
and start thinking about these crucial skills the source mentions.
Yeah.
The ones tech amplifies, but crucially, doesn't replace.
Exactly right. He highlights three strategic qualities: empathy, curiosity, and leadership.
And he makes a point about language here, doesn't he? About soft skills.
Yes. And it's critical. We really need to ditch that term soft skills permanently.
Why is that distinction so important? I mean, couldn't someone argue empathy is like secondary if you need hardcore coding skills for AI?
Because that belief that human skills are soft, optional, secondary, that's precisely the thinking that leads to the systemic mess Rob Van Linde is describing.
Okay.
He rightly calls empathy, curiosity, leadership, strategic survival skills. They are not nice to haves.
They're essential.
They're what allow an organization to actually change, to recognize patterns, to adapt. Empathy. That's how you know if your AI product actually solves a customer's problem. Curiosity, that drives the real learning, the iteration. Leadership, that's guiding people through massive uncertainty.
Without those,
the tech just automates your existing problems faster, makes you more efficiently ineffective.
That totally reframes it.
Yeah.
But it brings us back to the paradox. If these strategic survival skills are so vital, Why are companies complaining about a talent shortage while actively filtering out veterans who have that deep experience in change?
Well, now we're getting into the mechanics of the failure. The sources point to three core contradictions driving this disconnect. It's the paradox of digital transformation in action.
Okay, lay them out for us.
First, companies say they want deep institutional experience, right? But their actual recruitment systems overwhelmingly biased towards hiring for youth.
Contradiction one, okay. Yep.
Second, they launch these big, glossy diversity initiatives, talk a great game, but in practice, they silently exclude based on age. It's the elephant in the DEI room.
Mm. And the third?
Third, endless talk about lifelong learning, adaptability, needing people to evolve.
Yeah, you hear that constantly.
But check the training budgets. The funding for real, comprehensive professional development, it mysteriously dries up for anyone, say, over 40.
Wow. The hypocrisy is pretty stark when you listen like that. But why does it keep happening? Why are smart leaders letting systems reject the very people they claim to need?
Because, in large part, this shortage of skilled professionals is, well, it's artificial.
Artificial? How?
It's a mechanical failure. It's embedded in the technology we use for hiring, which is designed for efficiency, maybe, but not for context, not for wisdom.
You mean the algorithms?
Exactly. Highly skilled, genuinely curious people, people who are current, they're getting filtered out by ATS algorithms, applicant tracking systems.
All right, the ATS. For listeners maybe not deep in HR, these are the digital gatekeepers. They screen resumes before a human even sees them, mostly.
Yeah.
How are they getting it so wrong? Detecting the wrong signals.
They're built for keywords, for linearity, which often makes them incredibly rigid.
Okay.
So you have 25 years of experience. The system flags you, potential risk, overqualified, too expensive.
Ah.
Or maybe you've worked successfully in three different industries. The system doesn't see adaptability or transferable skills. It sees lack of focus.
So it misreads the data.
Completely.
Yeah.
The algorithm essentially confuses freshness, you know, that nice, short, clean resume, with actual competence.
Okay.
And it mistakes speed, like how quickly someone jumps to the next job with clarity, that deep understanding of the why behind the work, the context.
So you end up optimizing for churn almost.
You end up with a hiring pipeline optimized for speed, yeah, but it's running full tilt in the wrong direction.
Okay, so that's the filter crushing the experienced end of the talent pool. They're out because they have too much pattern recognition, too much context for the algorithm.
Mm-hmm.
But the absolute kicker, the real irony here, is that the same broken system does the exact same thing to the newest talent, Gen Z.
It's like the ultimate catch-22.
The system rejects older workers for being old and younger workers for not having enough experience.
And the data on Gen Z, it's genuinely shocking. The source uses a recent Fortune Criteria report of it found. Get this, 92% of Gen Z applicants are rejected by HR departments.
Wait, hang on. 92%?
92.
So for every 100 young people applying, the ones supposedly born with smartphones in their hands, digital natives, only 80s even get through the initial screen. We need to pause on that. What on earth are companies looking for if they're rejecting the most digitally fluent generation at that kind of rate?
Well, it shows digital fluency is only part of the equation, right? Because when companies explain why they're rejecting these younger applicants, what do they cite? It often comes back to those strategic survival skills we talked about. The human ones experience teaches.
Like what specifically?
The big ones cited are gaps in, well, essential workplace skills.
All right.
Communication, collaboration, and just basic professionalism. Things you learn over time working with others.
That is quite a synthesis. The system is broken at both ends.
Totally.
It filters out the veterans who bring context, wisdom, pattern recognition. And it also filters out the new generation bringing digital fluency and energy because they lack the soft skills, the strategic skills.
Exactly. The middle ground where competence and collaboration should meet, it's just collapsing.
Which brings us back to the context problem.
Precisely. That collapse is why the author is so insistent. Stop the blame game. Stop with the lazy generational stereotypes. It's not a generation problem.
It's a structural problem, a context problem.
Right. The context is broken because organizations are set up to fragment people, to isolate strengths, instead of synthesizing them.
Okay, let's talk synthesis then, because that seems like the way forward. If we stop seeing the workforce as these separate generational islands and start seeing it as a team, what are the strengths each group brings, particularly for transformation?
The sources map it out quite nicely. You've got Gen X, shaped by, economic ups and downs, rapid tech shifts.
Quite it.
They bring incredible resilience, deep adaptation skills. They know how to pivot when things inevitably break or
Okay,
change.
Gen X, resilience, adaptation.
Yeah.
The millennials.
Millennials grew up as the internet became everything. They really mastered multitasking and digital collaboration across tons of platforms. They bring the fluency.
Digital fluency, collaboration, got it.
And Gen Z.
And Gen Z. They bring fresh creativity, often a strong sense of social activism or purpose,
Yeah.
and just incredibly fast learning ability, which is vital for picking up new tools on the fly.
So let me see if I get the synthesis right. Gen Z brings the how fast learning on new tools. Millennials bring the where the fluency across digital platforms.
And Gen X brings the resilience, the context, the what happens when things go wrong, knowledge.
That's a great way to put it. That's your holistic transformation team right there.
So why does transformation still fail so often then, if all the pieces are there?
Because organizations actively isolate these strengths. They lean into lazy stereotypes instead of connection.
Like what?
Oh, millennial entitlement or Gen Z job hopping or boomer resistance to change. They slice and dice the human side of work.
And when you fragment the people.
The technology doesn't matter. No matter how smart the AI, it can't bridge those human gaps if the organization encourages them.
Which means the answer isn't competition between generations.
No.
It's intentional, maybe even mandated collaboration.
Yeah.
The author mentioned seeing real innovation happen at these intergenerational tech meetups he goes to.
Absolutely. The collaboration has to be deliberate. Look, younger workers bring that new energy, the latest tools, the what's possible right now, technically. They're the early adopters.
And the older professionals.
They bring the vital experience, the pattern recognition from past cycles, and crucially, the why. The strategic context, the history, the customer insights, the reason behind the action.
So when the what meets the why.
And they genuinely respect each other. That's where innovation sparks. That's intergenerational intelligence.
Intergenerational intelligence. That feels
That's
like the
big.
core message for leaders here.
It is. Stop hiring. Stop filtering based on year of birth. It's irrelevant.
Instead, screen for.
Screen for curiosity, clarity, and courage. The genuine will to learn, the ability to see the bigger picture, and the guts to challenge broken systems. That's the competitive advantage.
Not the newest algorithm.
No, it's the organization's capacity for that intergenerational intelligence.
So the future workforce, it's really defined by attitude, by the willingness to evolve, not just by age.
That's the most powerful takeaway, I think. And if being too experienced, like Rob says, means you understand that innovation without empathy is just automation,
Yeah.
then maybe too experienced should be a badge of honor leaders actively seek out.
It implies a certain wisdom, doesn't it? That the learning never really stops, no matter what some algorithm thinks about your resume length.
It absolutely does. It reminds me of that Dutch saying the source mentions,
Nah, yeah.
"Hoe meer je weet, hoe meer weet je dat je niets weet."
Which means.
Roughly, the more you know, the more you know nothing. The deeper you go, the more you realize how much more there is to learn.
That's true wisdom.
It is. Staying relentlessly curious, that's the ultimate strategic survival skill for this age, or any age, really.
So we've established these systems, the ATS, the mindsets behind them, they're filtering out both ends of the talent spectrum. Experienced veterans, digital natives, creating this artificial scarcity.
Yeah,
Yeah.
a self-inflicted wound for many companies.
Which leaves us, and you, the listener, with a pretty big question to think about. If the hiring system itself is fundamentally broken, what specific structural change? Something beyond just tweaking the algorithms, what needs to happen inside organizations to really cultivate that essential human element that fitting culture transformation actually requires. If the filters are the problem, how do you rebuild the foundation?
That's the challenge, isn't it?
We'll leave you to chew on that one.